astray, jihu Allah lead him astray. No one can guide him.
I bear witness that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave and messenger of Allah. The brothers have asked me to talk about the concept of Iman and Aqeedah, faith and belief. And this topic is the foundation of our religion, and it is the foundation of every religion. For every religion has a foundation which consists of a set of faith and beliefs. And Islam is basically no different in that it has a strong foundation, and that is the foundation of Iman and belief. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there is a peace in the body that if it is healthy, then the rest of the body will follow, and if it is spoiled, then the rest of the body will follow, and that is the heart, which means what the heart includes, that is the faith and belief. And as Abdullah ibn Umar and Jundub ibn Abdullah, two companions, said, that we have learned Iman first, and then we learned the rules in Quran. We have learned Iman first, then we learned the action and rules. Therefore, we have to realize the importance of knowing our Iman. As they said, we learned Iman. Iman is something to be learned by knowing the concepts of Iman and by practicing them. Because learning Iman consists of two parts: to know them and to practice them. And the topic of Iman means the six pillars of Iman that every Muslim have to know and have to believe and have to practice. The faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His angels, His books, His messengers, the Day of Judgment, and the divine faith. It's good and it's bad, all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must learn the necessary details which make us truly understand those concepts of faith. We don't have to go into things which are not necessary for us to go into. All we have to know are the necessary details to make those concepts clear for us, so that we will be in the in a clear situation about our faith. The topic of Iman or Tawheed must be regarded as the first thing to learn and the most honorable thing to learn, because Tawheed is the knowledge which deals with the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since He is the most honorable existing thing, then the knowledge concerning Him is the most honorable knowledge. Since it is the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it must be the most honorable knowledge and the most important knowledge. And the call of the messengers, the da'wah of the messengers to their people, to their nation, was first to Tawheed, to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to having the right faith in Him and to worshipping Him only and not worshipping anyone besides Him. This was the main call for every messenger to his nation. And this was a common call for all the messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ, that we have sent to every nation a messenger calling them to worship Allah only and to avoid the other deities. And as you will see if you follow the stories of the messengers and their nations in Surah Hud or in Surah Al-A'raf or in Surah Al-Ahzab, you will find that every messenger was telling his people, اعبدوا الله ما لكم إله غيره, worship Allah, there is no one who deserves to be worshipped other than him, or there is no one worthy of being worshipped besides him. So this is the topic that inshallah we will talk about today as much as you can inshallah bear with us, and after that inshallah there will be questions. When we speak about faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the first pillar of faith, we should understand that the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be complete until we believe in four things. The first is Allah's existence. The second is Allah's lordship, and the fact that He is the master, creator, and king. The third is Allah's worship, that no one must be worshipped but Him. No one deserves to be worshipped except Him. And the fourth is Allah's most beautiful name and most high attribute. So Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of those four things. Regarding the first part of Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Iman in His existence, this thing can be taught in four ways. The first way, first mean, is the mean of the fitra, or the instinct, or the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created us with. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His book, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ, the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created His creation with. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا وَيُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ, that there is no one who is born except that he is born with this fitra, with this nature that Allah has created him with. But his parents lead him astray to something different than this fitra, Christianity, Judaism, or whatever. So this fitra is Islam, is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fitra is something that will be there as long as no external source affects it. This external source could be human source or shaitan. As long as one is not subjected to an external source that might deviate him from this fitra, then he will have no need to go to any other way in order for him to believe in Allah's existence. It is already there in him. And actually, those who have denied the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so few compared to the rest, compared to the majority regardless of their religions or their faith, but one thing in common they have is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those minority, those few compared to the majority, actually deny not out of conviction, but deny out of arrogance and pride. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنْفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what's in his slave's heart. So he says that they have denied this while their hearts are sure of it, that it is true. But their denial is because of their arrogance and pride. And as you all know, Fir'aun was one of those who were claiming to deny the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your highest lord. And he said, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Who is this lord of the world? But when he was about to drown, he raised his voice shouting that now I believe in the Lord that Musa believed in. And you will find this clearly if you follow some of those who claim to deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow them in a hardship where they are about to drown, or they are about to die. They feel that, then they will cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, oh Allah. The other mean of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believing in him is the mean of logic. The mean of logic. And for those who have the true instinct, the true nature, they don't need any other means. But for those, let's say, atheists, or those who have been subject to an external source that have changed their true nature, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created them with, then we face them with this source of faith, and that is the logic. As you know, these creatures, including us, the creatures that have passed and the creatures that will come, they must have a creator that have created them, because it cannot create itself by itself, and it cannot come into existence by coincidence. Of course, it cannot find itself by itself or create itself by itself, because nothing can bring itself from nothing, from itself, or from nothing. Because for anything before its existence, it was nothing. So how could it find itself if it was nothing? And it cannot come into existence by coincidence, because for everything that is in existence, there must be someone who have created it. For every cause, there is, for every effect, there is a cause. And because this great world, with this great system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put it in, and this great order that it has, and this great relation between its creatures, there must be some wise controller behind all this organized system. Another way, or another means of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing his existence, are the books from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the books from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proclaim this and say it clearly. Another thing about those books from Allah, that those books have came with what is good for the humans. It has came with truthfulness, it has came with honesty, and it has came with the good moral, the good teachings. All those books from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came with the teachings that are in the good of humans, which show that they are, those books are from a wise Lord who knows what is best for his creatures. Also, in those books, and especially the Quran, there are mentionings of some of the facts, scientific facts, or facts regarding the creation, regarding the world, which have not contradicted at any time any scientific facts that are discovered. The other, or the fourth means of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his existence is what we feel and see. For example, we feel and see that for someone who calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking him something to cure his sick or to give him success or to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him from a trouble, we see by our own eyes and we hear by our own ears and we feel it and witness it that the call comes true, which shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most able and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Nuh, وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Recall when Nuh called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied his call immediately. And also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When the Muslims called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their call. And as narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari about Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, that he said that a Bedouin man from the desert came on Friday while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving the khutbah. So this man said, "O Messenger of Allah, our animals have died and our children are hungry. So ask Allah for us to send down rain on us." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his hand. The narrator says that the sky was clear. In other words, there were no clouds showing in the sky when that Bedouin came to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raised his hand, the clouds started to gather and come from everywhere by the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by the his great power and ability. So the rain started descending until the rain was coming down on the Prophet's beard sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because their mosque did not have roofs or strong roofs. So the rain would come into the mosque and the rain came down on the Prophet's beard sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were praying in the mud and prostrating in the mud. And the rain remained for a whole week. For a whole week it was raining because of this dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. Until next week, the same man who came and requested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for them so that Allah send down rain on them, the same man came and said, "O Messenger of Allah, our houses have collapsed from the rain. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on us and to let the rain go somewhere else around us and not on our houses." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed and he raised his hand and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the direction of the rain to somewhere else so that it will not destroy the houses of the Muslims, and the clouds were going to wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pointing. When he was making his dua, he was saying, "Oh Allah, make the rain go this way and that way," and the clouds were going in the direction where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed. This shows the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy to the believers, and how He honored His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam by answering his call so quick that as soon as he rolled his hand asking him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the rain on them, and it was coming down for a whole week until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again to change the direction of the rain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his call. Another thing that we can feel and witness are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He have supported His prophets with. And of course, those signs are usually things which are beyond the power of humans regularly. And we know, of course, the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has supported Musa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, and the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has supported Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, and of course the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has supported our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Musa hit the sea with his stick, and the sea was opened into cut into two parts, and it was open for them to go. And Isa alayhi salam was bringing back the dead to life, and he was curing the deaf and the dumb. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a lot of signs which were considered miracles to the people. When the mushriks asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a sign, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed them a sign in front of their eyes when the moon split into two pieces in front of their eyes, and they still did not believe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They told him, "You are a magician." And there are so many signs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I know a stone in Mecca that when I was passing by it, it was saying, 'Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah,' or 'Assalamu alaykum.'" And there are, of course, incidents where the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were on their way to a battle, and they were so much thirsty, and there was no water around them. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he would put his hand like this on the ground, and the water will come out from his hand like a spring. And when in another incident, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the companions were so much hungry and thirsty that they were about to slaughter their camels, Umar radiallahu anhu said, "If we do this, then we will not have anything to ride. So why don't we ask the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to bring whatever they have, anything, any remains of food, let them bring it. So one of them would bring a piece of hard bread, and one of them would bring a piece of date, and they put it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was only this much, and they were a whole arm. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this for them, and the whole army ate from this food, and there was still remaining. And there are many other incidents which show the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has supported His messengers with. This is regarding the first part of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is our faith in His existence. The other part of our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the faith in His Lordship, the faith in His Lordship, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the only Lord that has no companion and no supporter whatsoever, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the creation and the kingdom and the order. No one has any association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation or in kingdom or in his kingdom or in his order. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and no one shares his domain in creation. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master and Lord, and he is the one who provides and he is the sustainer, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can benefit or harm independently. No one can harm or benefit without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, to him belongs the creation and the order, the rule. And as he says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ قِطْمِيرٍ. It is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, who has all the kingship. While those who you call upon don't own anything, even as much as the peel of the date the thin peel over the date seed. You know what's that? That is so little, that is so worthless. The seed itself is thrown. When someone eats the date, he throws the seed. So how about the seal above the seed? It is nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those mushriks who call upon other than Allah, he tells them that those whom you are calling upon don't own anything. They don't even own that much. Actually, regarding the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a fact that all nations before have admitted. There was no nation which denied the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned in the beginning, those who have denied, they denied it with only their arrogance and pride. As Fir'aun said, I am your highest lord. And he said, I know no Lord for you beside me, or no God for you beside me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them that they have denied it while their hearts were sure about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the mushriks, قُلْ لِمَنِ الْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ سَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّهِ قُلْ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ قُلْ مَنْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ السَّبْعِ وَرَبِّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ سيقولون الله قل أفلا تتقون قل من بيده ملكوت كل شيء وهو يجير ولا يجار عليه إن كنتم تعلمون سيقولون لله قل فأنا تسحرون. Say, to whom belongs the earth and what it includes? If you know, they would say, to Allah, belongs to Allah. They means the mushrik at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they were asked, to whom belongs this earth and everything that is in it, they would say, belongs to Allah. Say, don't you remember? Say, who is the Lord of the seven heavens and the Lord of the great throne? They would say, Allah. Say, won't you be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say, who is the one whom in his hand is the kingdom of everything? And he is the one who supports and he needs no support. If you know, they would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, then what is the thing that's causing magic to you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ خَلَقَهُنَّ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. Say, if you ask them who created the heavens and earth, they would say, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, is the one who created them. And he says, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُنَّ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ فَأَنَّى يُؤْفَكُونَ. If you ask them who created them, who created the heavens and earth, they would say Allah. So what is the reason for their denial and for their deviation? The third matter regarding our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the concept of worship, that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only God, the only deity, the only one worthy of being worshipped, the true one who is to be worshipped, the only one who is worthy of being worshipped, because there are things which are being worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until now. As a matter of fact, until this moment, cows are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and maybe ants are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and birds are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even shaitan is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in this country, the country of so-called civilization. Shaitan is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are worshippers of the devil who imagine a certain image of the devil and they worship him. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we say ilah, that means the one who is worthy of being worshipped. And when we say worship, we mean two things. We mean the glorification and magnification, and we mean the submission. We mean the love and submission. Love without submission and obedience is not worship, and submission without love is not worship. So when we say worship, we mean both those things. Full love with full submission and surrenderness and obedience. This is worship. So for someone to claim that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without submitting to him, without surrendering, without obedience, then he is claiming a false love. And for someone to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without full love, then he is not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not worship. Worship must be full surrenderness with full love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the only worship. And worship must be based on three things. The first is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is the hope and desire in His mercy and reward. The third is the fear from His wrath and punishment. For any action, for any saying, for any belief to be considered a worship, it must be based on those fundamentals, three fundamentals. If you say something not seeking Allah's love and not seeking His nearness and closeness, then you are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by this saying. If you do something not for the sake of Allah's love and His pleasure, then you are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do it not seeking the reward and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be a worship. If you stay away from something haram, not to the fear from Allah and His wrath and His punishment, then you are not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by staying away from this haram thing. So worship must be based on those three fundamentals: the love and hope, desire and fear. For any worship to be considered a worship and to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be based on two conditions also. The first condition, that it must be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it will not be rewarded. And the second thing, that it must be according to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, it will not be rewarded. If you say something not seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not seeking His pleasure only, it will not be considered a worship. If you say it not based on Quran and Sunnah, then it will not be considered a worship. So these are the things that we must regard in our worship. The three fundamentals that we mentioned and the two conditions. And worship actually includes everything that you say, believe or do that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is a saying or an action or a belief, it is a worship. This is the definition of worship. And as we said in the beginning, that worship is full love with full obedience and submission. Love without obedience is not worship, and obedience without love is not worship. The fourth matter regarding the belief and the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the faith in His names and attributes. In brief, what this means is that we fully admit and believe and have faith in every description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with in His book, and in every description that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described Allah in the true Sunnah. The belief and admittance and faith in every name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called Himself in His book, and every name that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has called Allah in the true Sunnah. This is, in brief, the way that we must follow regarding Allah's names and attributes. Now, when we say we have to fully believe in every name and attribute that is in Allah's book and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the true Sunnah, then we mean it should be the righteous way of believing. The righteous way of believing. The way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were believing. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرُوا الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ سَيُجْزَوْنَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And he says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful names. Al-Husna is the plural of Ahsan, not Hasan. Hasan is good. Ahsan is better or best. So Al-Husna is the plural of best. So Allah belongs the best of names. And therefore, we believe in those names in the best form, in the best form that suits Allah's glory and perfectness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave those who deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding His name, leave them alone. Don't follow them. Deviation from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding Allah's names and attributes means different things, means many ways. One form of deviation is to believe in those attributes as they exist in the Creator. This is wrong. This is a great deviation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, there is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one can believe in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same manner that he believes in the attributes of the Creator. So when we read in Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most knowledgeable, the most hearing, the most seeing, we must believe in Allah's knowledge in a way that suits the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness. The knowledge that encompasses everything. Every detail, not the limited knowledge of a human, for example, not the limited knowledge of the angel, for example, where they said, Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana, glory be to you, we have no knowledge except what you have taught us. And not like the limited knowledge of the prophets and messengers, where in the story of Al-Khidr and Musa alayhim as-salam, when they were on the ship and a bird came at one of the corners of the ship, it took one drop of the water from the ocean, and Al-Khidr told Musa, how much water do you think this bird have taken from this ocean? So Musa said, nothing, virtually nothing. So Al-Khidr told him, my knowledge and your knowledge and the knowledge of all creatures combined is not even as much as this drop compared to this ocean, when we compare it to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So similarly is the mercy of the creatures. If you gather all the mercy of all the creatures and compare them to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not be as much as that drop compared to the whole ocean. Similarly to the wisdom of all the creatures, and so forth, and the hearing and the seeing. So when we speak of Allah's attributes, we must remember this fact, that there is nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither in His essence, nor in His name, nor in His attributes, nor in His actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all perfect, altogether different. He is the creator, and everything else are creatures. How could we compare the creator to the creature? So this is the first fundamental that we must realize regarding the understanding of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is, there should be no resemblance whatsoever. And that the difference between the attributes of the creature . So the second fundamental is that we must cut all hope from knowing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, or how His attributes are.